This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast, and ready to jump into another week. But let's first start with the awards, as we do every week with football season. And it's got to start with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. And this one came from my game, Trevor Wade out at Fluvanna. Defensive tackle, offensive lineman, two-way guy. Really had a tremendous game against Nelson County.
Wanted to see this from Fluvanna trying to bounce back after that loss. Obviously a tough Spotsylvania team that's shown its way through the Jefferson District quite well.
Yeah.
Fluvanna, where are they going to get that extra push? We know Walt Stripling's a big dude, but it can't be just him.
Can't be just one guy. And Wade is that in that answer. I first spotted Wade, I think it was last year in a scrimmage with Waynesboro, and he played pretty well in that. He started to show that he was going to be a player coming forward. He seems to have taken a pretty big leap going into this year. I asked him about that after the game. Wade's takeaway was that everybody on the line had really made this commitment to get better. And I think that some of that is that you have a team that developed an identity around running the ball in the wing tee, and I think that when you develop that kind of identity, it's easier for offensive linemen in particular to buy into it. You know, mm-hmm. that it's about what they're able to do and what crease they're able to open and what thing they're able to do.
And it turns out, I don't think there's anything more fun. You can probably speak to this. As a lineman, I don't know that there's anything better than run blocking.
No.
It's what you live for.
Pass blocking is brutal. That's just mirror drill stuff where you're just trying to like keep up with the fast guy. And you're on the defensive
a little bit. There's a lot of creativity in the running game where you can take a guard and swing him around, what you can do with some of these guys.
And that's what they were running a lot of. They were running that sort of back end, quick pull, and they were running a lot of it with Malachi Hill. They didn't get tons and break it big, but Nelson played pretty well, held the edge really well. But they were running a lot of that quick stuff, like you said, a lot of trapping, a lot of pulling, and it looked really good. And I think that when you've got that kind of execution, you're putting it at a high level, it's fun to play line in an offense like that when you're able to kind of do some different things. You're able to pick some guys off. You're not just straight blocking I played in a lot of different systems, whether it was a stretch and a zone read or whether it was an I form and just sort of all those things, it was a lot of fun to play in sort of relic-y type offenses where you could do a lot of funky stuff and you were catching a lot of guys off guard. Nothing better than trapping a guy or pulling out on the edge and clipping a linebacker. These guys are getting to do all that at Fluvanna, and Wade was really good. He was great at that on offense. Defensively, though, he did a great job of getting pressure up the middle, which is so key when you're playing Nelson, because George Brown, if he has time to sit back there, he can pick you apart a little bit, especially with receivers like Bryce Wilson and Rose and Tab, Jamerson, the tight end. I mean, they got a lot of guys who can really do a lot of different things. And if you sit back there and let him just kind of hang out, it's going to be trouble. Wade really was putting pressure up the middle, really forcing the issue, either forcing him outside or making the sack or forcing an interception, and that set up a lot of really good things for Fluvanna. So easy pick for me, the road grader of the week from C&G, Trevor Wade from Fluvanna. Offense player of the week. All right, there was not that much offense this week. It was tough to come
becoming
by.
Theme.
Yeah, it's becoming a little bit of a theme that we're not seeing the kind of offensive production that we've maybe seen in years past. But Louisa County, again, not huge numbers by any stretch for him. But Jarrett Hunter at Louisa, 121 total yards. But to get it done against a defense like Massaponics is really the key.
Yeah, I think the moment matters more than the numbers necessarily. Just a senior tone setter to go out there. And obviously we saw more from Shelton in that game as well. Caleb had a nice game there. But yeah, especially the style of runner that Hunter is, if he can show that against a really tough, gritty, physical Massaponics team and be effective doing what he does, which is just real shifty stuff, I just think it speaks to his athleticism, what Luis is able to do with that. When, you know, we saw with Malik and Job and those guys in your past, those guys, I mean, they just wore you down. Those guys were physical in sort of an upfront and close personal way. And Hunter has some of that game in him, but, you know, he's looking to break it loose. Yeah. More than run over you and you know, get the 10, 15 yard gains.
He's looking for the slashy. Like, yeah. When he gets to you, it like taking him down's brutal, not just because he's powerful, but because he's slippery too. He can get past you. He's just a complete, as complete of a, I don't know, obviously Jalen Alexander's doing awesome stuff out at Orange too, but Jared Hunter is a complete football player from top to bottom. He can do it all. He's, you know, we've talked about him before. We're huge fans.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 4-year starter, you know, basketball, football. It's just sort of, I mean, this is what he does.
Jared Hunter's been playing big in big games for a long, long time. So another big performance from him.
Yeah, and we'll get more to what this win means for that program down the road. But, I mean, yeah, we knew coming into this week that was going to be sort of a slobber knocker. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be. And it was just, tough, hard-nosed yardage coming out there with a one-point win. And that, I mean, I really feel like that sort of makes Louisa's season into just a different beast. Yeah. It sort of puts them on a different level. We knew how good they were. We didn't, I mean, now we're asking, how good are they in terms of, is this a top region team? Are we looking at a deep November, December run?
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, I guess we'll sort of get into this later again with the schedule, but I mean, there's just not a lot of teams doing what they're doing right now in our area.
No question about it. So, offensive player of the week, Jared Hunter. Defensive player of the week, another Fluvanna guy gets the nod here. A.J. Weiss, 2 picks, big-time performance from him. Stepped up in a really big way in that second half for Fluvanna. Like we said, Trevor Wade was doing a lot of pressure and ball dribbling, getting some pressure up front. But that was A.J. Weiss just stepping up on the back end and really coming up with those big plays. 2 picks for him. Not a guy that we knew a lot about. He's a guy who has kind of worked his way into the lineup through just dedication and hard work, according to Mike Morris out there. Weiss is super coachable. He's a guy who's learned a lot on the job. He's figured a lot of things out. And, to me, both picks were toughness picks. You had to go up and high point it and go get it from the guy. It wasn't like it just kind of fell into his lap. He had to go fight for it. And that's what Morris talked about with Weiss. The guy's a fighter. He said that if he was just a few pounds heavier, maybe a few inches taller, he could be an outside linebacker for him. And he's playing defensive back, doing a really nice job with it. 2 picks, big performance for him. He's going to share that award this week, Defensive Player of the Week, with my man Braxton out there at Goochland. You talked about tone setters. That guy's a tone setter.
Yeah, and just a totally, I mean, charismatic sort of defensive player that Goochland's always been really good at sort of populating their roster.
Yeah.
I don't know, they always seem to find a way to do it. But yeah, I mean, he had a huge game against a Buckingham rushing attack that was just so physical. Finished with 5 solo tackles and 8 assisted tackles. So quite the busy day for him trying to slow down Tay Tony and Walter Edwards, which, as Goochland learned, is very difficult to do. But it's the way that sort of he and that group stepped up on the goal line. They did it twice in overtime. They did it twice in the first half at the 1-yard line to keep Buckingham off the scoreboard going into halftime. And that's a senior leader right there. Obviously, Goochland, they're fixing things up front on both sides of the line, so they have to have Kendrick Braxton be what he can be from last year, which is just sort of a fly to the ball kind of guy. Just very good game for him, and a real big difference for this Goochland defense after losing a tough one to Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Coming out here holding Buckingham to 7 points when Buckingham sort of tried to Goochland, which is, I mean, if you're a fan of old school football, that game last week was just it was marvelous. The first half had 4 possessions, 0 punts. It was just amazing. You couldn't ask for a better first half. Obviously, drama and tones and things changed later in the game. Overtime was nuts. But great performance from him, and we look for more from them. Goochland got some health issues to worry about. Some guys that are going to be sitting out for a bit and then coming back in. With Cumberland coming up, I'm not too worried about that for them. We'll see them go from what could have been 0-2 to 1-1, and I think we're going to see them go on a nice little run here. Both Buckingham and Goochland, the hard part of their schedule is over, which is insane.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's true. Yeah,
and we can't say that for anybody else, whether it's the JD schools or any of the publics or privates outside of the JD.
Yeah, I think that leads us nicely into, you've already kind of covered it, what Buckingham Goochland meant. Louisa Massaponics, I mean, like you said, that takes things to a different level for Louisa County.
Yeah, I mean, we've got one more out-of-district game for Louisa coming up down the slate. But when you're sitting there at 3-0 instead of 2-1, I mean, 2-1 would have been fine. It would have been nothing
totally
wrong.
Fine, yeah.
Totally fine, especially the way that game was scored. Just good balance. Just a great-looking game overall. But I got to love the way that Louisa did it this one, a special teams play at the end. You get that third element in Louisa. If Louisa has, you know, somebody that can just nail field goals and extra points, or is great on kickoffs, or in this case, you know, you're coming up with a great big
field goal. Alex Washington, man.
You know, a guy that we expect to see more from maybe in the rushing attack.
At some point, yeah. But is making a huge impact defensively.
Obviously. And then, you know, in special teams as well. But when you get that third unit rolling for you, and you're already a good team on both sides of the ball, that's where it just, like, the deck is just so stacked in your favor. And I don't think people understand, unless you're sort of one of the coaches on the sport or been around it as long as we have. Special teams in high school is so weird and funky, and there's so many points given up or not taken advantage of. I mean, I can't count how many games have sort of teetered on an extra point. You don't have to go far for Louisa. That extra point with Eastern View, that changed that game where they thought they were suddenly going to win because Eastern View missed a kick there. It's just, yeah, it's huge. We've seen it over at Goochland when you have two Division I special teamers, a punter and a kicker. You don't have to have an offense. You can just pin people deep with your punter, and if you get across the 35-yard line, you're getting 3 points every time.
Yeah.
You don't have to go for it on fourth down.
Crack special teams unit, huge advantage.
If you have kick coverage, if you don't give up kick returns. I mean, how many times have we seen at Albemarle, you know, Rose would break a huge run, and, you know, that's their offense for the most part. You know, Taekwon was amazing for them. So, you know, if you have kick coverage that can sort of take a guy like that out, it makes a huge difference. Special teams, just so underrated, particularly at the high school level, because there's so many big plays that come out of it.
Yeah, to get one big one like that, man, just a game changer. That sets up the season real nice for Louisa. Things are looking pretty good. And one of the reasons that sets things up really nice is our second sort of big storyline, and that's the record of the rest of the Jefferson District. You know, we talked about this last year. It was pretty brutal, but this has been a really, really tough start. And then we're going to kind of try and put these starts into some baskets, because you're talking about you got five winless teams in the JD right now.
Yeah, five out of the seven.
Four are 0-3. One is 0-2. And then Louisa and Fluvanna, the total, I'll go ahead and let you give the record.
Yeah, I mean, we know Louisa's got the 3-0 mark, Fluvanna's got the 2-1, so that puts you at 5-15 across the board. You're playing
5-15 is tough.
That's 0.333 repeating as far as winning percentage goes. Not where you want to be. I mean, we can start breaking it down, like you said, putting them in some baskets.
Let's put it in some baskets, all because it deserves a lot of context, because I don't think that all these, not all 0-3 records are created equal.
No.
And I think that we got to break it down and kind of put it in some baskets. So let's start first with teams that are kind of in a youth movement. And we want to mention, too, that it's not just the JD that's having some struggles. It's a Central Virginia-wide problem.
Yeah.
Because if you go from 5-15 in the JD and then you bump out to the rest of the 11-man squads in the area, it's 12-28 overall.
Yeah, no, it's area-wide.
Yeah, it's rough. And, like, you throw in some more teams that are Ophirs right now, Monroe, Madison, a team that we'd never see at 0-3 is Woodbury. You know, I mean, it's area-wide. And like I said, we're gonna bump this in to, you know, let's just break it down. Let's start with the youth movement. Western, Albemarle, Madison, to me, are the three teams that jump right out as teams that are in a youth movement.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think the surprising one for us is Western a little bit, because it looked like there was enough in the skills position department to maybe sort of absorb that wave. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, some of it is opponent, some of it is like, I think we're finding out that that offensive line from last year was just, I mean, not nearly heralded enough.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't give them enough credit
yeah.
for the work that they did. They created a lot of...
Four of those starters gone. Yeah. Ben Life is the only guy that returns from that unit, and so they're breaking in four new guys. I think that the great thing is a lot of them are sophomores. You know, a lot of these guys are young, so they're going to keep developing. You know, and it's on both sides of the ball. A lot of these guys are crossing over offense and defense. But, yeah, I think that we probably didn't... A year ago, we probably didn't give them enough credit for Austin Shiflett and Carter Shiflett's performances.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, you look at that, it's not on defense, it's not just the defensive line that's a youth movement. Last year, they had 10 of the 11 starters were seniors. Now, they've got to replace all 10 of those folks. And, you know, it's going to be a process.
And yeah, I think and it's also trying to create a sort of live off the expectations of last year. That's really tough, and it's easy to fall in holes. We've seen other teams have this issue where you're coming off a really good year, and it's just hard to get things started because things just feel so different.
Great chance, though, for a confidence boost for Western this week. They're going to take on Waynesboro. That's a great chance to get back on track, kind of get things headed in the right direction. But
that's the other thing we should also premise, because we've seen this happen to Albemarle, you know, sort of schedule-wise, where things have been tough in previous seasons, where you know they get off to a slow start and then finish strong.
Mm-hmm.
Buckingham in back-to-back years, you know, coming out like 0-4, I think, both years, and then finishing 5-5 the 1 year and 6-4 last year to make the playoffs. So we've seen teams like sort of turn things around, flip the switch, absorb a couple blows early on, and find a way to just gut out that first one, and then it's one after that, and one after that. And you can sort of piece these things together before things sort of slide and sort of turn into some sort of great big disaster.
Yeah, I mean, this is mid-September. We still got a lot of football left to play, so I think that we're going to see some change. Albemarle gets a shot against Harrisonburg, a team that Charlottesville hung with for a little while. They got to go over the mountain to play Harrisonburg.
But, that's a team they're familiar with.
Yeah, they played them a lot. There's a
playoff
yeah.
game not so long ago with them.
Yeah,
as well.
So I think that there's some familiarity with the program. Maybe we'll see a little bit of improvement from Albemarle. But Almar's in a massive youth movement, skills, stat. I mean, there's only like four or five guys that really played a huge amount of significant snaps last year. That's just a bunch of young pups over there across the board. But I think you're going to see some pretty steady improvement from that group because there's a lot of young talent. And I think that, you know, some of the older guys are going to get back. They haven't had a chance to have Makai Washington back. He's not been in the lineup yet.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for Jake Rombach to get back in the lineup. You know, they're looking for a lot of things to happen and kind of break their way. Maybe that starts with the Harrisonburg game. We'll get to see a chance to see if they're able to kind of pull that off and get going. On the flip side, you know, Madison is just in a complete rebuild. Ton of young guys, not huge roster numbers, and John Rasnick takes over, and that's a big part of the reason that they're sitting at 0-2 already.
Yeah, I mean, the toughest thing for Madison, obviously, it's a small school in the first place. You're going through a coaching change, and you've had a couple rough years. It's just really hard to get numbers out for that. And that these are the programs that need that the most.
Mm-hmm.
We saw when Buckingham made the switch, you know, after
Seth Wilkerson, yeah.
But even before that, you know, how tough it was coming off a really great year and an absolute legend. You know, he passes away, and what do you do as a program? You bring in somebody new. Well, we don't think we're going to be very good, and then the numbers are even lower than they expect, and it just sort of snowballs into just something larger than it should be. These things happen at the 2A level a lot. It's not uncommon, and so sometimes you just got to take your licks. We've seen it at Nelson. There have been issues there. You know, Hicks has done a really good job in sort of promoting kids to get out, get kids from other programs to chip in when maybe they wouldn't in previous years. And that's what it comes down to at the 2A level is, all right, which of these baseball kids and basketball kids can you get to come, you know, chip in and play a little football for you too?
No question. So that's one basket is the teams that are in the youth movement. Another basket, lineman issues. We're seeing it across the board. It's tough to get linemen out. It's tough to get quality linemen that are playing really great. I feel like that Louisa is super deep there. Fluvanna has got some depth there. Actually, they got some guys that are moving, but Western's having to replace a lot of guys, and you know, just finding big guys who can move people, big guys who have good feet, is a difficult task. Western's facing it, Almar's facing it, Monticello's facing it, Charlottesville's facing it. I think that you know, all those teams are trying to find linemen that can get the ball moving, and that's a difficult task.
Yeah, and so many of these schools have a playmaker. You look at Monticello with a Malachi Fields, who, when given the time and given just a little window, you know, can make some really big plays, make things happen really quickly. So I don't think an awful lot has to change for these offensive lines to get that much better when if you have those playmakers in place. I think the real thing, and you'll hear a guy like Jeff Lloyd talk about it after Spotsylvania and stuff, is like there's just a step up in execution, whether it's something as simple as footwork or just reading assignments properly, just little things that each week that these teams have to get better at to try and find a way to put their teams in opportunities to make big plays.
Yeah. So lineman issues, finding those guys, getting them out, developing them, that is a tall task. These offensive line and defensive line coaches throughout the area have a tough task ahead. But then the other basket that you got to put some of these winless records into is just truly scheduling. We touched on this a little bit last week, but this is a wild set of schedules.
I mean, you could call it a cop out and say, "Oh, well, our schedule's tough." But I mean, if you're Orange County, I don't know what you would expect in that schedule to look at. I mean, regardless of what you have in your roster,
maybe you thought King George was real close. That came down to the very end. Other than that, I'm just not sure how that's supposed to play out for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Eastern View, incredibly difficult program to take on. North Stafford, that's a 5A over there in Stafford County. Mm-hmm. That's a tough program. I mean,
Cortland coming up.
Now they got Cortland coming up. You know, that's a team that, you know, it struggled against Louisa, but everybody struggles against Louisa. Maybe that's an opening there. But realistically, this is just a very difficult schedule for an Orange team that has a lot of talent at the skill positions. And if they can keep their confidence up throughout this process, has a chance to really make some noise in the Jefferson District. Because like we said, there's a lot of teams that are still sitting there at 0-3, 0-2 in the JD. You know, there's a huge opportunity for Orange.
Maybe feel like in 2 weeks we're going to find out that, oh, football's fun again. you know, these teams all get to sort of play each other. And so you're going to see closer games and just sort of a better atmosphere. You know, you put two programs that know each other well. The stands are more packed. There's just some more energy around these teams. It's hard. I mean, it is hard to get the ball rolling at 0-3, to get your fans to come out, get the community behind you. And these are the things that are all needed. I mean, if you want to know why Louisa is Louisa, it's because that place is packed. There is a pressure to win.
Yeah.
It all sort of works off of its... you know, off of each other. I mean, it's just a real synergistic kind of
super
atmosphere.
Supportive.
Yeah.
And it's just, when they got the community support behind you, it makes a huge difference. You come out in that atmosphere, like, how can you not kind of play at your best, reach your best level? And I think that, you know, we see that night in and night out whenever that team takes the field.
So I think, rivalry games, having those come up soon, that'll make a huge difference. Homecomings, those kind of things.
Also a chance some of these young guys are going to get a little bit older, a little bit wiser each game, and maybe that's going to make a little bit of difference. Another team that's scheduling, they fit in this scheduling basket, CHS. Similar schedule in some ways to Orange.
Yeah.
Eastern View is a shared opponent. EC Glass, I mean, that is a doozy of an opponent. I think that, you know, Charlottesville, they were able to hang with Harrisonburg. But, you know, they've got that tough one coming up with Eastern View. And I think that, you know, you look at James Monroe, good gosh. Yeah. I mean, like, this is a lot of heavy hitters for Charlottesville, really difficult schedule. You hope that that pays off when you get to the JD, because you've seen, you know, the best that a lot of, you know, schools and divisions have to offer. And then the third one that fits in is Woodbury scheduling.
Georgetown Prep's not any kind of fun.
Georgetown
Fort
Prep's
Union
a different
knows
animal.
All too well. Have we had anybody go to Georgetown Prep and come back and be like, you know, that wasn't so bad?
Nobody, man. I mean, that's a heck of a... What we talked about, Lafayette Goochland, Georgetown Prep is to Central Virginia what Lafayette is to Goochland. Yeah. I mean, that is it. Like, it's a little bit different animal. Really difficult thing to take on. I think that. You know, when you get in those situations, I think that you got to you got to understand what you're going up against. But then they run into a Bishop Sullivan Catholic team, a Catholic High, I guess is what Bishop Sullivan's going by now in Virginia Beach. You know, you show up against them, and there's another team that, like, is pulling a lot of guys from throughout the Tidewater. They're putting together, you know, an all-star squad, essentially. Woodbury, you know, runs into that squad, and things don't go exactly to plan. Then they get into the prep league play, though, and the loss to St. Chris, that's always a pretty good game, always a close, always a rivalry, and a tough one there. So a tough start for Woodbury, but that is a team that has a lot of talent and a lot. They're probably going to improve as the year goes on.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they have Woodbury has always sort of had, sometime at least in the last 2 or 3 years, a little bit to get started and then gotten on some rolls. We saw them get on a roll last year until they ran into Episcopal at the end.
Yeah.
They can turn that around real quick.
No question about it. And so it is worth noting, the 8-man squad, Stab and Covenant, rolling along, unbeaten. And we're going to get to see a little more there. Covenant only has one game under its belt right now. We're going to get to see a little bit more of it. And then we talked about the unbeaten. We talked about unbeaten Louisa, but we also have unbeaten Blue Ridge. The Barons are rolling along, playing really well. They're going to have, you know, some tougher games coming up, I'm sure. But right now, things are looking pretty good for the Barons. A ton of different weapons all the way across the board. They blitzkrieged Hargrave right out of the gate in that game. Fishburne, same situation this week. Blitzkrieged them out of the gate. So a good performance by the Barons, and they kind of keep things rolling. But, you know, you look across the board, there's a lot of unanswered questions. I think we're going to see a lot more in the next couple of weeks. But like you said, we're a week away from the JD matchups where everybody starts kind of locking
and
the
horns. This is an interesting week when you don't have Louisa playing.
No Louisa, no Fluvanna.
No Fluvanna. And those are 5 of those 15 wins.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to pick up the slack here, or next week we're going to be just running this number back again.
Yeah. That's right. But Madison Monroe, that's one where we know...
The Battle of the North.
Yeah. Battle of the North is getting done, and that's always a fun rivalry. We're excited to see the result on that one. And somebody's going to pick up their first win of the season, so that's pretty awesome. So, thank you for listening. We'll be back with you next week, and...